Orioles lose 1-0 last night. They're back in action tonight at 6:30. BBT live from Pickles. Bob Haney, Mike Bordick at 5:30 here on The Fan. And let's talk to another member of our BBT coverage as we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Ryan Ripken. And Ryan, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with some good news. How about Mean Dean last night?
Yeah, you know what? Dean was mean on the bump, man. He looked good. He looked good. And, you know, first inning has always – it's always felt like, right, the long ball or the first inning or one big inning for Dean. And after the first, after giving up that one run, he was spectacular, right? And, you know, that's the case of Dean when I talk about, you know, when I say what his ceiling could be. That doesn't mean that that's where he is right now. But you have to have the talent. You have to have the ability to stretch into the seventh, eighth inning of games. And he's had a lot of those and had great outings in the process. But what's held Dean back at times has been maybe that one big inning or making a mistake or just having that one just bad outing altogether where you kind of scratch your head and you maybe contemplate. But for stuff and upside that he has, when he's on, he can do what he did last night. Now, unfortunately, though, Dean's not swinging the bat. So he can't help himself in this case, but he did everything he could to help the Orioles get a dub last night.
Well, he probably couldn't have swung the bat worse than some of these guys if he tried. And this is a super hard sport. I appreciate that. But I just wanted to run something by you here, Ryan, because I know that you are generally pretty optimistic. And the Orioles are selling that they have a core here and they're not far away from competing. But I'm just going to go through the position groups and tell you where they stand in war. Mm-hmm. By position on Baseball Reference. First base, minus 0.8, 18th. Second base, minus 0.9, 22nd. Shortstop, 1.5, 9th. Third base, 0.4, 12th. Outfield, minus 4.1, 26th. Catcher, minus 0.7, 21st. Do you think this team is close to competing?
I do think that they're close to competing in a couple of ways, though. I'll kind of break down because, yes, I understand. I mean, the record is what it is. I think some of the stats when it comes to guys, while, yes, they can paint the picture of what's going on, it doesn't tell the full story. And not making excuses for it, the Orioles have been beaten up in a lot of different ways, and that hurts guys getting into a rhythm. You know, and for the Orioles in general, not only have guys not gotten into a rhythm, you can just feel that it's been a rough environment. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they don't like each other, not saying that they can't go out there and play through it, but the reality is they haven't. You know, and we saw it last year down the stretch where they had good players on the team, and that's still why, despite them kind of limping to get to the playoffs, they had enough talent to continue to stay above water, you know, to get into the dance, and, you know, we know what happened. But I do want to emphasize, when you're not in a good headspace and things aren't going right in a year, it doesn't mean that your talent or your future can't be bright. And I'll use an example real quickly because I've been following the hottest team in baseball, the Brew Crew, mm-hmm. the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yep.
I got to know Andrew Vaughn over the years. You know, a couple times, mutual friends, shout out Gavin Sheets.
Yep.
And Vaughn, talented hitter, but when he was in Chicago, he looked lost.
Yes.
And so lost that he got demoted down to AAA and then got traded to Milwaukee, and where he felt like, all right, what's this guy going to do moving forward? Well, since he got called up to the Brewers, he's only hitting .347 in 27 games. The Brewers are 24-4, and he has 32 RBIs and 8 home runs with an OPS of like 1,000, yeah. Right? And for me, that's the product of maybe it's a better culture, new environment, and he's in a way better headspace. So I think the bigger question here, Jason, is not, you know, can this team compete yet next year? The talent for me is there to compete. Do you have the infrastructure that you need to allow these guys to develop, if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. I think that is going to be the most important thing going into 2026.
Well, Ryan, it's been fun seeing Jackson Holliday make huge strides year over year, but right now it seems like maybe he's hit a bit of a wall since the All-Star break, 23 games. He's got a 577 OPS. Would you be opposed to dropping him in the lineup to have him get going and then put him back in the leadoff spot?
I'm for letting him continue to figure it out up there, to be honest. You know, especially where the team is at. I always think that failure, adversity, is going to teach you a lot. And for this case for Jackson, it's a reminder, he's very young. And two, this is his real first full season in the bigs, where this is where you're really going, like I like to call it, that you're going through it. And people consider August the dog days. Mm-hmm. I know June is where it kind of starts to hit for a lot of guys as well. This is needed for him. But in no shape or form for me, especially, you know, if the Orioles were in the hunt here, I'd say maybe that would be different. You know, but I think that it's good if you have a plan for this guy to be your leadoff guy in the future. You know, keep him in a spot where you want him to be. Show that confidence in the player, too. You know, I like to listen around and follow as well. I just mentioned Milwaukee. I'll give one more example. Dave Roberts talked about in the Dodgers when Mookie Betts was going through it, not playing well. And they said, you got to move Mookie down. You know, would you consider it? And he said, well, you know, we have a system here. You know, we have a list of guys where they're comfortable, and I also believe in where we are. Now, if things change, injuries happen, yeah, they'll make some changes. But it is important for our players to go through it, and if we can do that, it's going to ultimately benefit the players. I think in this case for Jackson, I like him at the leadoff spot. I'm rocking with him, and if I'm the Orioles, I'm doubling, tripling down on that we're working through this together, and you're going to get every opportunity to prove that you're our leadoff guy going into 26.
We're talking with Ryan Ripkins, Inside Access here on The Fan. Ryan, the Orioles lineup isn't out yet today, but I feel like it's probably going to be some combination, Noda, Johnson, Carlson, Allen, Jeremiah Jackson. Like, and no disrespect, that baseball's hard, but these are guys that are sort of 4A guys. As you come at it from a different perspective than us, but I think a lot of fans are frustrated by what they're seeing in the outfield. Are you?
I think what fans are the most frustrated with, and at least one question that I would have, is, you know, when are you going to give your own guys mm-hmm. in your system a little bit more of a run? You know, and that's not to say, because Daniel Johnson, DJ actually, and I go back to the Nationals organization. Super toolsy guy, you know, and has been around and trying to stay around. And people have obviously thought that he hasn't latched on enough to be an everyday guy. But I think he can bring value. But that's not the point if these guys can bring value, because each player can. And maybe you find something there, like we've seen with other teams, because the examples, Ryan O'Hearn was DFA'd, traded to Baltimore, became a focal point here for the last couple of years and traded. And then Brent Rooker out there with the Athletics. But having said that, it's more about when are you going to give a harder look at what you have. And there are guys in AAA right now that I think have earned that right to see what they can do. And after a while, if you don't give them that chance, you know, they might have to question, do you think that I'm not good enough? And that's a psychological game that I don't like. So I think that, to me, I think if it's fair to say, Ken, that's where fans go to. We have guys there. We've heard we've had good players in the minors. Why not see them?
Yeah.
And I know, take the business out of it. Beavers and Basayo should be here soon. That's a whole different conversation. But I think for the Orioles, that is a good question to ask, because what do you tell guys when you come through the system? You say, hey, you work hard, you do the thing, you keep grinding. You should get a chance to showcase and prove that if an opportunity arises. Felt like a lot of the opportunities have come up, but those guys haven't gotten those chances, and that's something that I wish wasn't the case.
Ryan Ripken, thank you, sir. As always, we appreciate your time. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Have a good week.
Coming up next, by the way, Mike Sando is going to join us at 5 o'clock. He comes out with those quarterback tiers every year, talking to NFL people, and Lamar Jackson making his first appearance in Tier 1. He'll join us at 5 from The Athletic. But coming up next, as the rest of the division prepares for Week 2 of the preseason, we'll hear from Kevin Stefanski, Mike Tomlin, Joe Burrow. It's Northern Exposure next here on The Fan.